Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. Today we're going to be exploring the core message of the Book of Hebrews. And we're using Dr. David A. DeSilva's lecture series as our guide,
Great.
specifically session 14,
Okay.
where he really distills the book into five key takeaways
All right.
for Christians today. And we're going to be unpacking those takeaways
Yeah.
and see how they can be applied to our lives.
You know what I find fascinating is how Da Silva takes these ancient teachings and makes them so relevant to the challenges we face in the 21st century.
Totally.
Okay.
It's so easy to think, okay, this was written thousands of years ago. How
Yeah.
does this apply to me now?
Yeah.
But Da Silva really brings it home.
Yeah.
And his first takeaway is about keeping our eyes on the prize. Or maybe a better way to put it is remembering what truly matters.
It's so easy to lose sight of that, isn't it? I mean, we are bombarded with messages telling us what to buy, how to look, what to achieve. It's like that cacophony Da Silva talks about, the constant noise of the world just trying to grab our attention.
And it's not even just external noise. I feel like we have internal noise too.
Oh, absolutely.
Like all the worries and anxieties and
Yeah.
comparisons swirling around in our own heads.
Absolutely. And that's where Hebrews comes in, I think. It cuts through all that noise with this clear message. God's word revealed through Jesus is the ultimate truth, the one constant we can rely on.
So, practically speaking, how do we apply that in our daily lives?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because it's one thing to say God is important, but it's another to actually live that out
Right.
when you're facing, deadlines and bills and relationship drama.
Right. You know, that's where Da Silva's emphasis on the eternal versus the temporary comes in. He suggests we actively choose activities that have eternal significance, things that will matter in the grand scheme of things. Instead of just drifting through our days, we can be intentional about aligning our choices with what will last.
I see.
Think of it like investing. You know,
Right.
are you investing your time and energy in things that will pay off in eternity?
That makes me think of that John Donne quote that Da Silva shares.
Oh, yeah.
Every minute of this life depends on millions of years in the next.
Whoa.
Whoa, that really puts things in perspective.
It does, doesn't it? It's a stark reminder to reevaluate our priorities. You know, are we chasing fleeting pleasures or investing in something that will last?
It's like that story in Hebrews about Esau
Oh, yeah.
trading his birthright for a bowl of soup.
Yeah. Talk about a bad deal.
Talk about a bad deal. That's rough.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example, I think, of what Da Silva calls the volatility of the
Yeah.
modern world.
Yeah, for sure.
You see markets crashing and political systems in turmoil and natural disaster striking.
Yeah, it's everywhere you look.
It's everywhere you look. It makes you crave some sense of security.
For sure.
But the security we find in things like money, possessions, or even relationships can be so fleeting.
It is.
So where do we find true security then?
Well, Hebrews points us to a different kind of security, the unshakable foundation of our relationship with God. It's about aligning ourselves with what is eternal, with God's unwavering love and promises.
I like that. And that brings us to Da Silva's second takeaway.
Okay.
Don't lose sight of what you have in Christ. It's like he's saying, hey, stop focusing on what you're missing and start appreciating the incredible gifts you've already been given.
I love that. And the writer of Hebrews uses some pretty powerful metaphors to describe these gifts. We have an anchor for our souls, access to a great high priest, and an altar where we can offer our worship and gratitude.
You know, that anchor metaphor is really resonating with me.
Yeah.
We live in such a chaotic world.
We do.
With constant change and uncertainty,
Yeah.
it's easy to feel like you're just drifting, like we don't have anything solid to hold on to.
Well, the anchor represents stability, a sure and steadfast hope. In Hebrews, it refers to the hope we have in Christ, a hope that doesn't disappoint. It's a reminder that even when life feels turbulent, we have something secure to cling to.
It's a striking contrast to the fickleness of human nature that
Yes.
Da Silva mentions, quoting Dio Chrysostom.
Right.
And it's true. People can be unreliable. Circumstances can change in an instant, but Jesus offers something different,
He does.
unwavering constancy.
Exactly. He's the anchor that holds us steady amidst the storms of life.
I like that. And there's that beautiful prayer from the Book of Common Prayer that captures this idea.
Oh, yeah.
Grant your people to love what you command and desire what you promise, so that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely be fixed where true joys are to be found.
Beautiful.
That's a great reminder.
Yeah.
To anchor ourselves in something deeper, something more lasting than just the shifting sands of our circumstances.
I agree. And the great thing is we're not on this journey alone.
Right.
Hebrews reminds us that we have access to God's help through prayer.
Okay.
Through Jesus who intercedes for us.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we have the support of other believers.
Mm-hmm.
People who understand what we're going through and can offer encouragement and accountability.
You know, this idea of every believer having a priestly calling, that's pretty unique to Hebrews.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It seems like it goes beyond just attending church on Sundays.
Yes. It completely redefines what it means to be a Christian.
Okay.
We're all called to participate in worship, prayer service, and outreach, to live as living sacrifices, offering ourselves fully to God.
So practically speaking, what does that look like? What does it mean to live out this priestly calling in everyday life?
Well, it looks different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the core idea is that our faith isn't meant to be compartmentalized.
Okay.
It's about bringing our whole selves to God, our gifts, our talents, our passions, and yes, even our struggles.
Okay.
And letting him work through us.
So it's like we're all ministers in a sense, extending God's grace and love to the world around us.
Precisely. It's about recognizing the sacredness of our everyday lives.
Okay.
And seeing every interaction, every task.
Yeah.
As an opportunity to reflect God's character.
Okay. That's challenging, but beautiful.
It is.
Okay. Let's move on to Da Silva's third takeaway.
Okay.
He says, we shouldn't lose sight of what is due to God.
Yeah.
What does he mean by that?
Well, I think this takeaway gets to the heart of our response to God's grace.
Okay.
It's not just about what we receive, but how we respond.
Okay.
Da Silva links grace and gratitude in Hebrews.
Right.
Emphasizing that true grace isn't passive.
Okay.
It should inspire a life transformed by gratitude.
That's interesting because I think sometimes in modern Christianity, we can overemphasize grace to the point where it almost feels like we're off the hook.
Right.
Like God loves me no matter what, so I can do whatever I want.
Yes. And Da Silva cautions against that kind of cheap grace.
Right.
He argues that true grace doesn't leave us unchanged. It motivates us to turn away from sin and live in a way that honors God.
So it's not about earning our salvation, but it's about recognizing that God's grace should have a tangible impact.
Yes.
On how we live.
Exactly. It's like the old saying, to whom much is given, much is required.
Right.
When we truly grasp the magnitude of God's love and forgiveness, it should compel us to live differently.
It makes me think of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians.
Oh, yeah.
For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again.
That's a powerful statement of how grace should transform our motivations.
Yeah.
It's not about living for ourselves anymore, but about living for the one who gave everything for us.
It's like if someone gave you an incredible life-changing gift.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just say thanks and then go about your business as usual.
Right.
You'd be so overwhelmed with gratitude that you'd want to do something in return.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And in the context of Hebrews, that something in return isn't about trying to earn God's favor.
Right.
It's about allowing his grace to shape our hearts and actions.
Okay. On to takeaway number four.
Okay.
Don't lose sight of one another.
Yeah.
This seems particularly relevant, I think, in our individualistic culture.
Absolutely.
Where we often emphasize independence and self-reliance.
Right. It's a crucial reminder that the Christian life isn't meant to be lived in isolation.
Yeah.
We need each other.
Right.
Hebrews emphasizes the importance of community, of supporting, encouraging, and holding each other accountable.
And Da Silva directly challenges the idea that faith is a purely private matter.
Yes. He points out that we're not just individuals following Jesus.
Okay.
We're part of a body.
Hmm.
Interconnected and interdependent.
So how do we practically live this out?
Yeah.
It's easy to say community is important, but actually building and maintaining those supportive relationships can be challenging.
Absolutely. It takes intentionality.
Right.
Da Silva suggests we prioritize creating space for authentic connection, vulnerability, and accountability.
So what does that look like?
This could look like joining a small group, finding an accountability partner, or simply being more intentional about reaching out to other believers for support and encouragement.
Okay. And he also talks about the power of sharing personal testimonies.
Yes.
Of how God has been faithful in our lives.
Those stories can be incredibly encouraging in faith building.
Yeah.
Especially when we're going through difficult times.
Right.
They remind us that we're not alone in our struggles.
Right.
And that God is at work, even when we can't see it.
But community isn't just about warm fuzzies and encouragement, right? Huh. De Silva also emphasizes the need to help each other recognize and resist sin.
That's right. It's about speaking truth in love,
yeah,
even when it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's about being willing to receive correction and guidance from others,
mm-hmm.
recognizing that we all have blind spots.
It sounds like this requires a level of trust and vulnerability.
It does.
That can be hard to find.
Yes. But those kinds of relationships where we can be completely honest with each other about our struggles and weaknesses are essential for spiritual growth.
And De Silva uses a really striking example to illustrate this point.
Oh, yeah.
He talks about his colleague who committed to supporting a missionary in Nigeria, providing prayer encouragement and practical assistance from afar.
It's a powerful example of how we can live out this principle of don't lose sight of one another.
Right.
Even when we're geographically separated, we can pray for each other, offer words of encouragement, send care packages, or simply stay connected through regular communication.
It's a reminder that community extends beyond our immediate circle.
Yes.
And that we have a responsibility to care for and support our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world.
Around the world.
And sometimes those seemingly small acts of kindness can have a ripple effect, encouraging others to get involved and make a difference.
For sure.
Okay. Before we move on to De Silva's final takeaway, I want to circle back to something he said earlier about the nature of Christian community.
Okay.
He uses this really powerful image to describe it. He compares the Christian community to a group of runners in a race, all supporting each other along the way.
Oh, yeah. It's such a vivid picture.
It is.
We're not competing against each other.
Right.
But running together, encouraging each other toward the finish line.
Yeah.
We offer a hand when someone stumbles.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrate each other's victories.
Right.
And as De Silva points out, you know, in this race, it's the will of the master of the games that everyone finishes well.
That's a beautiful image. And it reminds me that we're all in this together.
Yes, we are.
We need each other to persevere.
Yeah.
To stay the course when things get tough.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to De Silva's final takeaway.
Okay.
Which also happens to be his first.
Oh, right.
Don't lose sight of life's top priority.
Okay.
It's a call to remember what truly matters, to keep our eyes fixed on the eternal prize.
Yeah, it's so easy to get sidetracked in the busyness of life.
It is.
To chase after things that ultimately don't satisfy.
Yes.
So how do we stay focused on what truly matters?
Well, for the writer of Hebrews,
it
all comes back to our relationship with God.
Okay.
It's about seeking his will, growing in our love for him, and living a life that reflects his character.
Okay.
It's about making him the center, the foundation of everything we do.
Does that mean we neglect our responsibilities in this world?
No, not at all.
Okay.
In fact, when we prioritize our relationship with God, it actually empowers us to live more fully and purposefully in the here and now.
Okay.
It gives us the strength to face challenges, the wisdom to make good choices, and the compassion to love and serve others.
So it's not about escaping from the world.
Right.
But about transforming the world.
Exactly.
Starting with our own hearts.
That's beautifully put. And that transformation happens as we allow God's grace to work in us.
Yeah.
As we respond to his love with gratitude and obedience.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
Let's recap those five takeaways from Dr. De Silva's lecture.
Right.
Don't lose sight of life's top priority.
Right. Our relationship with God.
Our relationship with God. Don't lose sight of what you have in Christ.
Those incredible gifts of grace.
Right.
And the assurance that we're never alone.
Don't lose sight of what is due to God.
Our gratitude expressed through a life of obedience and love.
Don't lose sight of one another.
Recognizing the vital importance of Christian community.
And finally, circling back to the beginning, don't lose sight of life's top priority.
Yes. It all comes back to that.
It all comes back to that. Wow, that's a lot to chew on. It's a challenge to live these things out consistently.
It is. And De Silva leaves us with this thought-provoking question.
Okay.
In a world that constantly pulls us in different directions.
Yeah.
How can you more intentionally live out these principles from Hebrews?
That's a great question for all of us to ponder.
It is.
Maybe it starts with just taking some quiet time to reflect.
Yeah.
To examine our lives and see where we might be losing sight of what truly matters.
Then to take action, however small.
Yeah.
To realign our priorities and deepen our commitment to following Christ.
Yeah.
Remember, every step we take in the right direction, no matter how small, is a victory.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the book of Hebrews. We hope it's encouraged you and challenged you to live out your faith more fully. Until next time, keep seeking truth and keep the faith.